I was expecting a stronger amen from the husbands out there with that verse. That is one of my favorite verses because of what Solomon is trying to write there about finding a good wife. And that's what we're going to be discussing today, finding a godly spouse. Now, I am so thankful to be back today. I'm thankful for Steve and for Travis and for everyone that helped fill in for my responsibilities last week while we were gone. Also, I want to say a big thank you to everyone that prayed for us in our travels to and from Orlando. We are thankful to be back, thankful to be in this wonderful, always changing weather of Tennessee. So this week has been wild. We went down from 70 degrees pretty much all day, every day while we were in Orlando to who knows what's going to happen up here. So we are again thankful to be back. I'm thankful to be back with the Hilldale Church family and see all of you and see some of you visitors. We are thankful for you being here this morning. We are talking about momentum this year, building momentum in different areas of our life. And throughout February, we're talking about building momentum in our marriages. I am thankful for Travis's lesson last week, kicking this month off, talking about the seven best choices we can make in our marriage. What a wonderful lesson. I hope you took a lot of that home with you and are implementing that. This week, though, we're going to be talking more about the start, where it all begins. How do I even find the right spouse? And how we can find the right love. Sometimes we hear the song Looking for Love in all the wrong places. Well, I want to encourage us this morning about finding love in the right place. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. We're going to be in that particular text all morning as we discuss this very topic of looking for love in the right place. As you're turning there, I want you to imagine for a moment with me. You're a man in a foreign country, and in this foreign country, you're standing at a well. At this well, you start to wonder who all of these people are, and you start wondering who is going to be the wife of your master's son, because that's what you've been tasked with. You've been tasked to go into this foreign land that you don't know anybody, and you are to come away with finding the perfect wife for your master's son. What would you do? What does the servant do? He prays. This man prays to God and asks for help. And then, as we see throughout Genesis 24, we'll find the story of Isaac and Rebekah unfold. God does help this particular servant find this particular woman. And sometimes in our life, we can feel very scared about this process, whether we are a young person, single person, or even parents or grandparents. Who is our child going to marry one day? Who will be their forever spouse? Something that's always going through our head. Today, many young people face the pressure of finding the right person, and parents are pressured with this idea of making sure their kids or their grandkids marry what we call well. We want to make sure that they find this person, and for some reason there's all these different avenues now, whether they go online or whether they try to find all of these different things by and going by worldly standards. And so it can be daunting to us. So this morning, the bottom line, really, if you want to figure out what this lesson is going to entail, is that finding the right spouse is not a guessing game or a social experiment. It's a journey of faith and using God's wisdom and guidance. As we get into this lesson, we're going to be talking about how we can use God's guidance to help find a spouse. Now, how many of you are like to play the New York Times games? They're really fun to play. Maybe you've heard of the game Wordle. That's one of their main, most popular games. Now, what Wordle is, if you don't know, pretty much they give you zero prompts and you try to figure out what this five-letter word is. Sounds really difficult. Thankfully, they give you six tries and you're finding out whatever word in the world it may be. It's a really fun game, but they also have other games. They have games like mini crossword puzzles. They have this weird crossword puzzle or weird word search where you'd have no idea where the words are going to be. Then you also have this game called Connections. Connections is a game I have grown to love. It's one of the hardest games on this particular app, but it's fun. And the whole idea of this game Connections is they give you 16 words, and you have to take those 16 words and come up with four groups of four. And they're all connected somehow, some way, with a particular thing about them. Now, one of the ones this past week was, the prompt was smooth using friction. The four words that were found in this connection were buff, file, grind, and sand. Now, I want to use that game Connections and us play a game together. I want us to take these four phrases, and I want us to find how they're all connected, okay? Don't fish in a dry pond. Now, if you're a fisherman, that would make a lot of sense. You can't find roses in a garbage heap. Don't search for diamonds in mud, and you can't draw water from an empty well. How are those all connected? Well, they're all metaphorical phrases on where not to find love, on where not to look for love. Now, as we get into this lesson, when we start to discuss this idea of how to find love and where to look for it, I don't want us to be overwhelmed. I don't want you as parents or grandparents or mentors to think, who knows what's going to happen with our young people. Young people, I don't want you to be sitting here this morning worrying about what's going to happen when I grow up. Am I going to find this right spouse? I want to focus on what God wants for us in finding a godly partner. Now, attention rises with our young people, and here's this tension. How can we discern who the right person is when the world offers so many options and distractions? Now, parents and grandparents, you may have this question. How do we teach our children to seek someone who will grow them or help them grow closer to Christ and build a lasting godly marriage? Parents or grandparents, you may have had this question throughout your life, throughout your bringing up of your children. Young people, you may have the question, who do I decide on? Well, hopefully throughout this lesson this morning, we'll be able to figure that out. And to plainly put it, the answer is to trust God's process. Now, you've turned over into Genesis 24. What's really cool about Genesis 24 is that we are able to find principles in there that really help us understand God's process for finding a right spouse. So, I want you to be in that particular chapter this morning. We're just going to be going through it and understanding what God wants for us. Now, in this particular chapter, this is where Abraham is wanting to find a son or wanting to find a wife for his son Isaac, okay? And so he sends his servant. If you notice in the first 10 verses, as we understand the context, he's sending his servant to go and find this perfect woman. And he sends him to where he's from, his homeland, where his kinsmen are. And he makes him understand one thing, do not take a woman from those of the Canaanites. I don't want you to take a woman from this particular group of people. Now, we're not fully sure of why he says that. In the law of Moses, we understand that God didn't want his chosen people to take foreign wives. And maybe that has something to do with it. But we just know that Abraham wants this servant to find a wife for his son from his people. So notice, starting in verse 10, as we begin this process, understanding what God's particular process is, start in verse 10 with me. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor, which is Abraham's brother. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. So as we're beginning this process, we see that this servant is going to the right place, right? He's going to where his master wants him to go. He finds the city of Abraham's brother. And he goes to the well at the right time when he knows the women will start to come out and to draw water. You'll notice as this process begins, I want you to really, really pay attention to what this servant does in verses 12 through 15. Notice as he is sitting there, as he is waiting there, look at what he does in verse 12. And he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, 'Please let down your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." Watch the first part of 15. "And before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah." I love that. What does this servant do before he even starts this entire process of finding this woman? Imagine all the women that were about to come out to this well. Imagine how overwhelmed this servant could have become, thinking, well, is she the one or is she the one? What does he do? He prays. He goes to God and asks him for help in making this choice. He starts out this entire process by asking God to help him find the right person. You know, I wonder how many of us, when we were younger, thought about praying before we even started finding a spouse. I wonder how many of us went to God and said, "God, I want you to make sure you help me in this process. I want to look to you to help me in this process." Parents, how many of you are praying for your young children right now? Maybe your unborn children. Are you praying for them? Grandparents, are you praying for your grandchildren that they will find this godly spouse one day? What a wonderful way to start this process, because when you start to think about it, if I start the process of trying to find a spouse and I start by praying, who am I automatically thinking about? I'm automatically thinking about God and making sure he's leading me in this process. He's helping me determine who will be the right one. Parents and grandparents, the same goes with you. As you're praying for these young people, that they will find this godly spouse, it will help you parent them. It will help you mentor them as they are trying to find the right spouse. Because if you haven't noticed, there is about 9 billion people in this world. And there's a whole bunch of people in this country. There's a lot of choices. But there's one that will be the right one for your child or grandchild. So as we begin this process, I want you to really, really think about praying being the very first thing you do. Praying being the main reason you are entering into this process. Make sure we begin with prayer. As we continue in this process and as we continue in through Genesis chapter 24, I want you to notice as the search continues. You'll look in verses 15 through 21, notice what happens here with this servant as he is praying. And we saw at the very beginning of 15, as he, before he even finished speaking, behold, Rebekah. Read the text with me in verses 15 and 16. "Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder." Now, I want you to notice verse 16 and really pay attention to the descriptive words that are said here. "The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up." Now, I want to make a small point real fast on this particular verse. A lot of times in our process, we stop at verse 16 because we have found somebody who's young, who's attractive, and they don't have a ring on their finger. So must be it, right? That must be the right one. And this process could have stopped because this person could have said, "Oh, wow, this woman is nice looking. She is a maiden. She has never known a man. Perfect. I'll just grab her." But it doesn't stop there. Right? It continues through verse 21, and I want us to continue through verse 21. Notice in verse 17, "Then the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Please give me a little water to drink from your jar.' And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar and into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water. And she drew for all his camels. Verse 21 is very comical to me. The man gazed at her in silence and learned whether the Lord had prospered this journey or not. Remember what this man prayed for, that he'd be able to determine who this woman was going to be, because he was going to say, "Hey, I need some water." And she was going to say, "Oh, I won't just give you water. How about I water all of your camels too?" Now, I want you to imagine watering 10 camels. No thank you, right? That would not be fun. But what does she do? She says, "Hey, I'll help you, and I'll also help out your 10 camels as well." You see, it wasn't just looking for the outside appearance. He was also trying to find somebody with an inward beauty, somebody who had character, somebody who had hard working, somebody who was respectful, somebody who was humble. And that's who he found in Rebecca. And in verse 21, it's kind of interesting because you kind of think, like, did his jaw just like open wide and think to myself, was this really that easy? Is this really her? And he's kind of in shock, wondering, could this be the woman that I came out here to search for? You know, we need to make sure we have expectations. This servant had expectations, and he prayed about those expectations. You may have just seen it as giving water, but there was more to it. It was those characteristics we just talked about, that it'd be a woman who was hardworking, a woman who was servant-minded, a woman who was ready to help. That's who he was looking for, and that's who he found. I want you to think right now with me, parents, grandparents, and young people, and single people, and all the people in here, what are your expectations of a spouse for your child? Children, what are your expectations for your future spouse? What do you want? What do you want in a husband or a wife? Now, I want you to take those expectations and compare them with this list that I've compiled. Some expectations I would think to ask my two daughters to have as they are looking for a spouse, and the expectations I will have for their future spouse are these things. Number one, as you can tell, will always be number one. They are faithful to God. God is number one in their life. Not only that, they are focused on building God's kingdom. I don't want my daughters, if I can put it plainly, to marry bench warmers. I don't want my daughters to marry men who are just going to come into the church and not help build the kingdom. I want my daughters to marry men who are active, who are trying to do everything they can to involve themselves. I want you to find people who are prayerful, that rely on God in their lives, people that are selfless. They're looking out for others' needs in their lives. They're wise with money. Ladies, look for men who are leaders. Ladies or men, look for women who look like to be natural nurturers and those who are willing to be helpful. Find people who are encouraging, people who are slow to anger. They have patience. They're hardworking and they're not hypocrites. They're not going to just talk the talk. They're going to walk the walk. Now, young people, as you are growing up, pray about these expectations. That's what the servant did. He prayed for the specific expectations he had in a woman to find for his master. Parents and grandparents, pray about these expectations. Pray that your children and grandchildren and those that you are in the lives of, they will find people who meet these expectations. Because how important is it that we let our children find these people? Now, where do I find this person, right? Was this servant going to find this type of person in the land of Canaan? We don't know. But Abraham must have known he would find this type of woman in his own home country. So where should we encourage our young people to find a spouse? And this may be really contradictory to a lot of people in here, because I know there are a lot of wonderful marriages where people marry outside of the Lord's church, and that's awesome. But can I give you an observation I have seen in the 9 years I've been in the Lord's church? Too often, our young people marry outside of God's kingdom. And our young people go to outside of God's kingdom. They leave the church. They leave the faith. Their marriages struggle, all because we weren't helping them have this expectation. We want to help our children find God's people. And what better place to look, as Brother Tim brought up as he was introducing our day today? Let them look in God's church. Let them find a spouse amongst God's people. And that will help us find God's person. Now, the last part to this process we're going to look at is sometimes that search doesn't happen too quickly. So what do we do now? Notice this servant, we're not particularly sure how long it took or what happened, but notice in verse 26 and verse 27, the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master, who has not forsaken, not forgotten about, not forgotten about his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman." The man bowed his head. He worshiped God. He praised him and said, "Thank you so much for helping me find this person." We also learn that he was very thankful that God did not forget about his master. We don't know how long this process took. It could have taken a long time. And sometimes in our lives, the process to find the perfect spouse could take a while. But don't lose heart. Don't think to yourself, "I'm never going to find someone." And in so doing, you may compromise some of your expectations. You may think to yourself, "I don't want to continue the search." Parents and grandparents, don't lose heart as you're trying to parent your children. For them to find the right spouse, don't let them compromise on who they find. Let them continue to search for the right person, the person of God, and trust in his process. Now, as we end our sermon this morning, I know it wasn't a lesson entailed to spark a lot of invitation, but I do want to give us a call to action. I do want to encourage us to have this particular mindset. Here's some homework. I want you to trust God's process. So what can you do? What literal, practical thing can you do? Young people, I want you to commit to today praying for God's guidance in your relationships. Set a standard for godly character and refuse to compromise on who will be your spouse. Parents and grandparents, and I can put in literally anybody else who is in the lives of children, pray for those children's future spouses. Not only that, be a guide to them as they are looking and as they are searching. Help them find what truly matters. Someone who has character, someone who has a strong faith, and someone who has a heart for God. And I want to encourage all of you to go through our youth group and pray for each of our young people by name. Pray for all of those in our congregation who are seeking someone to find in their marriage, because that will help as they grow older and they do find that right person. And all that we do, trust in God's process as we try to find and try to encourage our young people to find the right spouse. Now, again, this morning was not encouraged to respond to an invitation, but we do want to offer an invitation. Whether you are in need of prayers, maybe there are some marital things going on in your life and you would like for us to pray for you, we would love to pray with you this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to take that next step in your faith. You're ready to put on Christ in baptism, have your sins washed away, and become a child of God. We would love for this morning to be that morning. We just ask that if you have any need, you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.